Here's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Ray, have you ever been to Newfoundland and Labrador?
What? What did you just say?
Have you ever been to Newfoundland and Labrador?
I've been to neither.
Okay.
Did you know the name was Newfoundland and Labrador?
Aren't they two different places?
You ever heard of I don't even know what Labrador is. I thought it was a dog that roamed around Newfoundland.
Yeah.
Just
wonder.
What?
It just wanders around.
Yeah, yeah, it's like he's taking a dump over there in the field. That's the Labrador.
Oh, that's outstanding. Yeah.
I'm in studio today, Ray. How do you think it's going for me?
Learning some stuff,
are
you?
Well, we're in geography class right now. We're not doing very well.
No, Pooley's got a reputation of being a smart guy, and we're trying to drag him down as much as possible.
Well, see, this is why smart guys like Pooley align themselves with guys like us, because right. They don't even have to try. Like, the teacher looks and goes, look at those three idiots, and, oh, Dave's a real smart guy. Let's give Dave the captain of the class. That's what happened.
Yeah, Pooley is the beneficiary of the bell curve, because someone's got to get an A. And it's not going to be these three idiots over here. So you get it by default, but you should have heard.
Actually, Ray had an A on in the picture I sent him today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which one was that?
He was.
I was speeding away from Tim Kerr.
Yeah, it was a picture of
Pooley.
Yeah, you really looked like you were moving quickly. There was a bit of a blur. You were going on offense, and Tim Kerr was not really thinking about playing defense at that moment.
No, this was Tim Kerr with the Rangers. So this was post-Dave Poulin when Pooley got to play with the strongest man in the world.
Yeah, weren't worried about that anymore. Wow.
Oh, I didn't have to worry about Pooley. I could win a face-off because whoever they had wasn't as much of a pest as Dave was. Dave took face-offs way too serious. Like
well, I was limited in my other talents. I figured I could do something well. I was going to win a face-off. I think I could still win one and change. I changed pretty quick, though. I watch guys take draws
career.
Today. I could win a face-off. Yeah, you could get a career. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but would you need the wooden stick? Wouldn't that help you on the draw?
I was one of the first guys to go to aluminum.
Really?
I remember that. That was it a silver or gold Easton?
Christian.
With the Christian
Easton,
blade?
Well, originally they said Christian on them. They were Easton. This was before Easton. So 83.
Hey, guys, do you remember when there'd be a little nick, a skate nick on the aluminum stick, and when it would break, the ping sound? That thing was like a sword. After you'd have like a sword in your hand because it was jagged aluminum that had just been broken off.
Tell you what, it was pretty good for slashing, though.
Really good
fast offensive
stick.
Guys, yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't have anything on the old school, like wooden.
Oh, yes, it did.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
More so than like the 5-pound sticks?
Yeah, it got cold.
Yeah, the aluminum one was a good slasher.
Pooley, do you remember a guy named Bennett Wolf?
Sure.
He was playing for the Baltimore Skipjacks, and I was in my first year playing for Binghamton. There was a power play, and he came to the bench, and we were just getting set to go on. I was 20. I was like 160 pounds. And this guy reaches in. He says to the trainer, give me the solid ass. He was taking a tree limb out to kill penalty.
Just to slash and cross-check.
And I'm like, I don't really want to go out on this power play.
Try seeing Stu Grimson take his elbow pads off before a shift. I was like, what the hell is this guy up to? Like, he's going to play a shift with no elbow pads? And then I found out very quickly.
Why?
Why? It was scary.
Nothing to grab onto when you're fighting.
Oof, that's a different world, man.
No kidding. I know you were calling your game last night, but the Leafs, they showed up last night. And Pooley did a hit on SportsCenter about Austin Matthews. And we were discussing it in the previous hour. He looks like he is amping up because you saw him live a couple of nights ago in Nashville. He was even better last night.
Well, we watched the first two games or first two periods before the Senators and Vancouver started. And I mean, that game should have been 8-1 after two periods. And he looked fantastic. He looks like when we talk about somebody dialing in for the playoffs, that's kind of what the last couple of nights have looked like to me. Like he is, he's a train, man. When he gets going, that is really tough to stop. There's a connection between the speed and how he uses his body. And I think over the course of the season, there's been times when that hasn't been there. But man, he looked the last two nights, he was locked in.
And you can see from a coaching standpoint, the coach just wants that more often. And, you know, when you're 21 or 22, you can't just dial it in for the playoffs. You're supposed to do that every night. When you're 31, you can dial it in for the playoffs.
I think you have to learn how to do it. You know, the every night stuff. I don't know. I found it easier as I got a little older to, you just know how to manage your energy and manage the schedule. When you're young, you'd have these spurts of, you know, where you'd play great for five or six games and then you just can't keep the energy anymore. Your legs don't carry you the same way. That's what I felt anyway.
And he's a big guy too. That's a big body he's moving around. Right? He is.
But as I'm thinking about it, I wonder what the sweet spot of minutes is for him.
I think it's got to be right around 20 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's more or less.
Right on it, right around there. 20 to, it could be 22, it could be 19.
Because he's playing less than that now.
I know, I find that crazy.
Because I don't think it's 16, but I wonder if he can handle the 20.
Ray, I needed 18.
But we didn't, you didn't skate like him. Like
I know, but if I played 16, I'd be like, I don't even feel like I was part of the game.
That's interesting.
There are times I'm with you, because there are times you'd sit there and go, like, does he even know I'm here still?
Yeah.
You'd move your way to the middle of the bench because you're like, okay,
yeah,
this joker has totally forgotten me now.
You have to stand up every whistle to let him see your number and your name.
See, I had a guaranteed job because I was a penalty killer, and my team led the league in penalty minutes every year. That was the brilliance of it.
So would the coach even call it your name?
No.
You'd just go over the boards?
I'd first go over the boards for every penalty kill.
See, I had a job like that, Pooley, too, but it was when we took a too many men on the ice penalty.
You were going to serve it.
Oh, yeah. Didn't even ask. Just jump over the boards, go over there. You get your own water bottle, and you could talk to the guys in the box, and that was my job.
But if you think about it, you know, we were going to take six or eight penalties a night. So right out of the gate, I'm going to get, if I play half of that, I'm going to get six or seven extra minutes. It's great.
Just think of how foreign that sounds to today's game.
I know. That was a light night.
That's like prehistoric to today's game. Like, I look at, like, there's how many times I do prep for a game, and you'll see a team hasn't scored in five games on the power play, and then you're like, oh, yeah, they had 1-0 for zero.
Exactly.
An 0-for-1, you're like, man, it's like it's a different world.
As for the Buffalo Sabres and their side of things, we were talking about Jack Eichel as well. And, you know, we always bring up McDavid and his plight out in Edmonton, where he's going to miss the playoffs for the third time in 4 years. And we're always wondering, is that going to be it? Is he going to storm in and demand out? And that's not going to happen. But Jack Eichel has been there for 4 years, and he hasn't even sniffed the playoffs. Like, they're not even close. He hasn't played a meaningful game in March yet in his career. What's his level of concern looking like right now?
Well, I would be really concerned that there is no road out. Like, there's, you look at them and they weren't even close last night. If you look at the Sabres season, I think they've lost 17 of their last 19. They had that 10-game winning streak. I believe 8 of the wins were in overtime or shootout. Like, those aren't even real wins in my book, right? They're wins, and they go in the win category, but they knew at the time that, ooh, this is not going to keep on rolling. And then when it came back to earth a little bit, it just fell off. And so you look at, you talk about Eichel. I think Ristolainen is a decent, he's a good NHL defenseman. Since February the 1st, he's been like minus 23. Like, I know it's not the stat it used to be, but it's a train wreck. Guys get worn down. They're young in their careers still, but all you know is lose, lose, lose. And those guys have, they have not done a good job in Buffalo. I know Jason Botterill's only there a couple of years, but they've got to look at, like, they need major surgery there. They're a long, long, long way away.
We posed the question, would you rather take over the Edmonton Oilers or the Buffalo Sabres?
The Oilers.
That's kind of around the horn, wasn't it?
I mean, the Oilers have Dreisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, of course, McDavid, Nurse, Klefbom. You know, like, at least you can find five or six guys that you go, man, I'm pretty excited that those guys would work. And in Buffalo, you get quiet pretty quick.
Well, you got Eichel and you got Dahlin, who you believe he's going to turn into something special. I think Casey Mittelstadt got that whole World Junior bump, and he's a young guy trying to find his way in the league. Alex Nylander, I don't know if he's going to make the NHL.
What about Reinhardt for you?
See, I like Reinhardt. I know he's a bit of an outlier in the way the game is now. You know, he doesn't go super fast. He doesn't have anything that looks really powerful to him. Like his shot or anything, but he's smart. I think he can be a complimentary player. When he plays on the wing, that's when he's, you know, he can play that give and go game. He gets to the front of the net well. He's got good hands. He's smart. To me, he's a top six forward. He's a top six winger, best suited on your second line. And there, of course, they've got him, you know, they've got him on the top line. And I would like to have a winger in front of him. But I would have him in my top six. I think that kid can produce offense.
So Andre Vasilevsky made, what, 56 stops last night?
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Pretty good. And that would be so terrifying for me if I'm any other team going to the dance, because Kucherov's probably going to win the MVP. And if he's not the best player in the league, he's in the top three or four. Hedman might be the best defenseman in the league. They got depth everywhere, 1 through 12 up front. Couple of banged up guys on the back end, but 1 through 4 anyway, their top two pairings, very, very high quality.
Tell you what, that Cernak is a player.
He can play, man. And
don't forget, he came from L.A.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we often talk about the way a team gets put together, it's not just your amateur scouts, although Al Murray, who heads the amateur side in Tampa, would know Cernak from the World Juniors. He played in four of them. But he was young enough that you know, they could have tapped into what Al Murray had on his notes. The pro side would have seen him in the American League. And L.A., I think that was a Peter Budaj thing, when Budaj was going
was.
Back and forth.
Yeah, it was.
And they end up with Eric Cernak. Like, man, that's another win for their scouting department.
Well, and then even if, for whatever reason, they all played the worst game of their career, you've got to go through the best goalie in the league.
He had a pretty good tender back there.
Like, I don't see how you beat this team.
He had a nice rest this year, too.
Yeah, he took a month off.
Yeah.
And they lost one game, I think, without
Domingue
him.
Domingue came in.
But that's multiple times he's done. He did that to the Leafs a couple of months ago when he came back from injury. He made 49 stops, I think.
That was his first game.
Right. First game back. Last night, 56 against the Caps. That game wasn't even close.
Now, just think, somebody's going to break knuckles to get into the playoffs, and they're sitting there.
How do you beat them? Sitting there. How do you beat Tampa? How?
Well, I guess you know, because nothing's impossible. I mean, I guess you hope for what, like, when we beat Pittsburgh, and, you know, it's 93, it's forever ago, but our goalie, Glenn Healy, played the series of his life. Their goalie was Tom Barrasso. He didn't play very well. They didn't respect us at all. And we just kind of, we hung around, and we, you know, our power play was good. We got one game, Tom Fitzgerald scored two shorthanded goals on the same penalty. Like, all these things that never happened, or never happened, happened. That's how you beat Tampa right now.
And you're thinking about their power play. They got three last night out of three, and it just looked eerie. Like, you better not take penalties against them. You better not try and rough them up.
Was the Kucherov goal, was that the one?
It was one of the three power play goals.
What was that? Harlem Globetrotters.
Well, the thing about Palat in front of the net.
Amazing.
It looked like a guy, you know, when a guy is totally shell-shocked and he's in a miserable slump and he has no confidence and he won't shoot it? That's what it looked like, except that wasn't what it was. That was a fully confident guy who said, man, I'm just going to lay it off to Stammer here. who then said, "No, I'm not in a perfect position, so I'm going to lay it over to Kucherov."
Well, look at the defenseman. When you watch that, the defenseman was spinning around like a top. He's like, he didn't know who to cover, and then all of a sudden it's in the net.
He might have been backwards when it went over his head.
Man, they are so fun to watch, and they're so fast, and they're so deep. And the other thing is, outside of last night, teams get a lot of shots against them, but they don't get a lot of real quality, I don't believe. And so while Vasilevsky's amazing, for the most part, Tampa just kind of, they just come at you wave after wave after wave, and it's like you can't breathe. And all of a sudden you're down 4-1 again, and you're like, oh, there goes the game.
It's not going to be easy for anybody. But I'm looking even beyond that first series.
It never is. I mean, it never is. There's no such thing as an easy playoff series when you're starting. It's whoever you line up against, you're going to convince yourself and everybody's going to convince themselves that this is the hardest matchup you could have possibly ended up with at some point. You got to beat them.
But do you ever really believe you can win it?
Yeah, sure you do.
Like, always believe.
Well, Ray's just telling you, they won one of the most unlikely ones. And
yeah.
Okay, but the next year we played the Rangers when they won the Cup. They beat us in four. Noodles was the backup goalie to Hextall in that series. That series should have been over in three. They should have just sent us home. We had no chance.
You were still living off the previous year, were you?
Oh, my. We're like, look at this team. Like, we didn't have a chance. Brian Leetch was putting on a clinic. It looked like he had toothpick in his teeth. Like, he didn't break a sweat. He was just sometimes you just know, even though you grind away at it, of course you do, but you just know, man, this team's way better than us.
They had some pretty cagey vets on that squad,
I would say. All right, buddy. Well, we'll do it again tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Okay, talk to you, boys. Have a good one. Pooley, keep holding the ship up, would you?
Take care.
Good luck with that, Pooley. There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.